Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Right? God with us. Isn't that lovely? Now, when you meet smart people, they'll tell you virgin, actually the same word is translated maiden, yada, 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 yada. To which I respond, when God wants to give someone a sign, for him to say a young girl will be pregnant is not a sign. We know how this works. I took the class in P7. They showed me cartoons, and I understand exactly how babies come into the world, right? God said a virgin will be with child. When you look at the Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint, the word that they chose for virgin in Greek when they translated the Old Testament into Greek way back when only means virgin. It means doesn't have a husband, never known a man. So it has to be that miracle. Don't let anyone talk you out of the miracle by saying it doesn't really require that. That is what modern scholarship of liberal Christianity says. I believe that liberal Christianity and their lame explanation of God's miracles is worse than atheism. At least atheism tells you, hey, you know what? We don't believe God. But liberal Christianity doesn't believe God either, but they tell you Christian while they don't believe God. More dangerous. Because the folks can still go to church and sit in a room and say, see, we're Christian, while people are teaching them to not believe God. Don't fall for it. Into this world with despicable, tyrannical rulers doing horrible things in secret places behind closed doors, God sends his child into the world. And he announced it hundreds of years before it happened. And it's going to happen. Well, 680 years, and then there's later on this last prophet, Malachi. Malachi is preaching to the falling kingdom of Judah. Do you know that all of Israel was taken away captive and brought out of the land in the history of Israel? They had a civil war. They made a northern and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom never had a good king. They worshipped idols from day one. They got swept away by Assyria. Then in the south, you had Judah. You had the descendants of Solomon, the king on the throne. And out of all the kings they ever had, there's about four good guys. Ahaz is not one of them. And as they were falling, here's all the stuff that's coming. Malachi, the last guy to speak to Israel in their swept away state, says this 450 years before Christ. You've said, it is vain to serve God. What's the profit of our keeping his charge or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? What's the point? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Malachi chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. This is what God has done. The things are always breaking down in this world. This world is a broken down place. And at Christmas time, I think we furiously work the hearth and the home fires and the family together. And we say, we have each other. And I know that it's hard out there. But at Christmas time, for the people who it's hard for, Christmas hurts. Right? And so here we are. And so all of us together, can we be together? Can we look out for one another? Can we find out among us who won't be somewhere and make sure that they're somewhere? I think we'll have an orphan child bash a little bit on Christmas Day. So everybody who's not going somewhere else, let's get together and we'll plan a Christmas party. On Christmas Day, if any of you here in this room don't have plans to go somewhere else on Christmas Day, come to me. We're going to have a party, okay? Because it's a good day and we all like each other already. So we'll just have fun. God said, hey, you, I know what's coming. I know what's going on. Don't be discouraged. I know things are bad, but you're going to see that it's worth it to be with me, even though it looks like the baddies are succeeding right now. You're going to be okay. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Well, contemporary to Isaiah, there's this other prophet, and his name is Micah. And Micah said this. He said, "You, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen it." That's what John says in chapter 1. This is coming. Then in Matthew, talking about this same story of this birth of Jesus, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. So Jesus has got to be from Nazareth, and he's got to be born in Bethlehem, and God is working this out to a virgin. Okay, there are only so many people alive on earth ever who were born to a virgin. There's actually probably more than one person claiming that spot. But then they also have to be from Nazareth, and the baby needs to be born in Bethlehem. It's a very small set of humans on earth. And these are the prophecies that we're dealing with as we talk about Jesus Christ.